Blog Talk Radio.
You found us. You found us back here for the Race and Motorsports Hour. This is our, it'll be our second season, but in many respects, it's our inaugural season because we're going to cover the thing from wire to wire this year, which we weren't able to do last year. And we want to thank everybody who's joining us from home. If you're listening live, there's a number of ways you can reach out and join us. If you're listening on archive, sit back and enjoy an hour, maybe a little more, as we chat all things motorsports and, you know, top of the order, obviously, here, Daytona 500 Sunday. NASCAR's back, and, you know, it's an exciting time. We're gearheads here at Frat House Sports, and we do follow the motorsports action. And We're gonna touch on a few things today. In addition to NASCAR, you know, let's not forget, out there in Phoenix, Arizona, we've got the NHRA. Today, they'll be kicking up their final heats, and we'll get an update at some point later in the broadcast. We'll get an update on where things stand in the NHRA heats going into the final round today, and hopefully our own Frat House Mike will be joining us for that segment and give us a bit of insight about what's going on out there in Phoenix. But all eyes focus this morning clearly down on the Daytona 500 that's about to run. And, you know, this will be the 57th running of this event. We look at NASCAR, and it's a relatively new sport. I mean, when you compare it to MLB, my goodness, that's a very long history. You know, the other one, obviously, NFL, that's a very big very big, if not the biggest sport nationally recognized here in America, if not Canada and Europe, trying to push it everywhere. And what's interesting about NASCAR, they start with their Super Bowl. This is their Super Bowl event. Unlike, let's say, for the NFL, they end their season with a Super Bowl event. But in many respects, they're kind of the same, although diametric. We've had 2 weeks now of anticipation for this NASCAR event, and you know, it kicked up a week ago with Speed Weeks at Daytona. We had the Sprint Unlimited. We've had all kinds of practice and qualifying sessions. My goodness, all three series, the National Series, are all down in Daytona. This is it. This is the big one. This is where it all kicks off. And it's interesting because I have to say it's not the same this year. It's not terribly different, obviously, in the way it's set up and designed, but it's different. And I want to share some thoughts before we get kicked off completely. But before I do that, let me do this. If you want to reach out with us and offer your opinion, because quite frankly, we're going to share our thoughts. We're going to chit-chat about NASCAR and NHRA. It's only more fun if you call us. So please, don't hesitate if you are Skype-capable and you are listening via computer. Hit the Skype button, and that'll bring you right in. It'll show up on our board, and we'll let you in, and you can tell us live what you think if you have a thought or an opinion on anything we're going to chat about this morning. Otherwise, yeah, tried and true method. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. 347-826-9964. And it, as I say, it's only more fun if you bring it from your side. Let's keep this thing real. Let's make this live. Let's keep it fluid. And I believe I have my co-pilot on the line in the pit box. Is that Brandon? Brandon, are you with
yes.
me?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Good morning, Brandon. Brandon,
hey,
been
looks
out.
Like,
yeah?
Yeah. I was going to say, it looks like we might have a third with us. I think Mr. Sidekick's already on the line, too.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Now, before we bring Sidekick in, and I just want to let everybody know that, you know, we wouldn't have made it to the garage but for Brandon and his lovely wife, Jennifer. They've been shoveling the entire parking lot of the Frat House Sports Race Trim garage this morning, and I know they're both a little bit wiped, but I appreciate Brandon being here with us. Brandon, here's what I want to do. I'm going to throw a few thoughts out for you to chew on and our audience to chew on, and then we're going to just kind of open it up and let this thing kind of free flow. You know, here we are for the NASCAR kickoff, and I guess the first question I have, and there'll be a couple of them here. NASCAR in 2015, how do we want to categorize this now? Do we want to call NASCAR a legitimate sport, or do we want to say, well, no, you know, it's not so much anymore. This is really just a entertainment source. That's number one. Let me run through them all.
Okay,
relax,
go ahead.
Because the same with the audience. I want to kind of throw a few out, and anybody has thoughts on this. You know, is it sport or is it entertainment? Makes me wonder. We've had a lot of controversy. I mean, an especially large amount of controversy that has run through the last 2 weeks. As we built up to this, quote, Super Bowl for NASCAR, not least of which has been that through a number of very unfortunate series of events, NASCAR, as a sport or an entertainment vehicle, has kind of equaled a bushwhacker. And by that I mean we have lost two premier drivers in a little more than 24-hour period, and that being the loss of Kurt Busch to the SHR stable as a result of pending legal decision on domestic abuse charges. And just last evening, we've lost one of the most premier wheelmen in Kyle Busch in just a horrific, horrific, unfortunate crash into a concrete wall. Very, very near the end of the Xfinity series, results of which sent him to the hospital, multiple compound fractures to one leg and ankle, additional problems with the other leg. He is, for all intent and purpose, removed from competition for the rest of the year. And this is a man we know can drive anything. He drives trucks. He has driven what was formerly Nationwide, certainly a cupper. So that's number two. I mean, bushwhacking and NASCAR, is this very good for the sport or entertainment business of NASCAR? Third, you know, last year we had the Team Alliance. Everybody was talking about, my goodness, are we going to have a union? My goodness, is that really what this is? The teams are trying to form a union. There is collusion. This is an anti-NASCAR movement by these teams and drivers. Well, perhaps maybe those calls should be renewed, especially in light of the two Busch brothers being lightning rod examples. I mean, for one, we have conduct policy issues now, and they directly affect Kurt Busch and the Stuart Haas racing team. And secondly, we have some serious, serious questions about driver safety now that we've lost Kyle Busch. You know, safer barriers. We're at Daytona. A lot of people say this qualifying that we've seen this year, old timers will tell you it's just ruined the entire sport. A lot of those old timers have been peeling off anyway. There's a lot of attrition in their mind. to this sport, there's no reason to go back. And on the flip side, if we're trying to bring in newbies, I say that in quotes, we're trying to bring a new audience, a younger audience, well, perhaps they've found this boring somewhat or simply sensational. We've seen NASCAR now suddenly become, what, a WWE on wheels. And that's where this thing is going to go. It's simply a television event. Another question. Rules, rules, rules. How many more rules does NASCAR really need? Do we need to continue to rule and rule and rule until there's nothing left? What do you think out there, folks? Give us a call. Let us know. We've lost the number one face of this sport back in 2001 with the unfortunate death of Dale Earnhardt Sr. That was a death on the tracks, folks. Instead of using that as a wake-up and clarion call, here we are 14 years later, and I can't help but wonder, does Daytona really not want to make any changes until we have the next death on the track? Because quite frankly, I held my breath wondering if, in fact, Kyle Busch was going to be able to get out of that vehicle following yesterday's wreck. Finally, I guess I'm going to put this out there. You know, we've heard from the top brass, the Vice President O'Donnell. We've heard it from Mike Helton. We've heard it from Brian France. Matter of fact, I've got his open letter here before me, which he sent out to all fans. Essentially, the message is NASCAR is great. The growth is up. There is nothing but better, better days ahead for NASCAR. I have some question. I have a lot of question about that. And I'm about ready to turn this over now and let you weigh in on anything that I've mentioned there, Brandon. But, you know, I like the sport, essentially, and I don't want to be so cynical because I believe once I give into that feeling of cynicism, well, then it's a short step from there to say, you know what, I'm not following it anymore. What's your take? You're a longtime NASCAR guy. You're a season ticket holder at Richmond. How do you feel? How has this Daytona compared to past? Or am I reading it all wrong?
Well, as far as the first question, when you're asking about is it a sport or is it entertainment, I've always looked at motorsports, and I'm going to put that as a broad term that covers almost every form of racing when you consider drag racing. Car racing, road racing, IndyCar, Formula One, even motorcycle. Motorsports is a little different than regular sports. I mean, in regular sports, you usually have a team, and there is a team in motorsports, but the team is generally the guys that you're not watching compete on the track lap by lap. They're guys who are in the background and they make the pit stops. They, you know, work on the cars or the bikes or whatever. So motorsports is a little different than sports. I'm not ready to say it's sports entertainment, because when you say sports entertainment, you're implying that the script is written. You know, who's going to win, who's going to, you know, how it's going to go, and whatever plot twists happen. I don't think NASCAR or any other sport, motorsport, can do that. In other words, I don't think you could write a script and say, okay, on lap 15, we're going to have, David Reagan spin out, take out three of these, you know, three or four other guys, and we'll have a big one somewhere around lap 70. I don't think they can do that, and I don't think they do that. I don't think that's the intent.
Right.
It can seem a little dramatic with the way things go. I don't know that NASCAR has always handled things properly. I think the way they've handled this Kurt Busch thing is a bit disgraceful. I mean, all along since it's come out last year, they've taken the stance, well, we're going to let everything, you know, work itself out criminally. We're going to wait for the Dover police to make a ruling, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden we get a court officer who's not even a judge write an opinion that more likely than not he committed a domestic abuse offense against his ex-girlfriend. Oh, and by the way, in the same report it mentions this ex-girlfriend perjured herself during the testimony. But because of a statement that says more than likely not he did it, we're going to suspend him. I don't think NASCAR should pursue like that, not after the stance they've taken all along. And that's my biggest problem with that right now. And that they're going to get some heat, I think, over that as an organization. I don't think that leads to them being more like a sports entertainment type thing. I would kind of pass on that one. It's just bad management, maybe, or mm-hmm. reactionary management, let's just say. Maybe they were afraid, oh, well, we can't have this, 2 days before the Daytona 500, our biggest race, we can't have an announcement that one of our drivers maybe, possibly did something, bad. And I think it was just a reaction. And I think the whole process is flawed.
Right.
They mm-hmm. had, two appeals already, which, seems rather quickly. Which didn't change anything, which, at this point, I don't know if they'd have the cojones, I guess, to rule against NASCAR. I mean, the three-member board made up of different stock car racing officers that aren't NASCAR people. And then the final appeal, which, is a one-man deal. I don't know. There's really no middle ground on this. It's either he's racing or he's not. It's not like you can reduce it. There's no time to it. There's no fines yet. So, it was either, yeah, he's racing or no, he's not. So they kind of had themselves backed into a bit of a corner.
Yeah, I would agree. And, not for nothing. Perhaps, and this is just my own opinion, and, you could agree or disagree, Brandon, or anyone out there listening, but it would seem to me that based on the fact we haven't had a criminal jurisprudence decision, but this is, in fact, still, it's been relegated properly to a civil matter with Kurt Busch and Patricia Driscoll, perhaps fines and separation of money might have been the first logical step that NASCAR may have wanted to investigate and proceed with pending some final jurisprudence, because in fact the money then could have been simply returned, given to charity, etc. No, in fact, what we have done, and kind of like the NFL in a way, and it was part of the reason why I had trouble with that league in their conduct policy, we have denied the man his ability to earn a living altogether. So in other words, he has been found guilty and he must prove his innocence. So let's take it to another step here with this Daytona. We've had qualifying. My goodness, we saw right away from the initial on Saturday of this just past week. Here we're going to have qualifying at the cup level, Friday, Saturday. Who wrecks almost immediately? Clint Boyer. He wrecks. Drivers are calling it, quote, chaos. Everyone hurries up and waits. It's absolute pandemonium as drivers attempt to file down pit road only to sit there to allow a countdown. You know what? If I'm a person and I happen to be channel surfing and I land on NASCAR qualifying, all right, let me see. Boy, I hear a lot about this stock car stuff. Let's see what these guys are doing. Oh, what am I looking at? I'm looking at these wonderful vehicles, and they're all sitting idling. And I'm saying, geez, Louise, this isn't very exciting. Well, then we have the group qualifying, and in fact, we see the wrecks. And we see the nonsense. Immediately NASCAR realized they had to change. They immediately then later in the day announced that for the upcoming qualifying for Xfinity and Camping World Truck, they were going to make changes. Well, lo and behold, what did we have yesterday? But more of the same in the Xfinity qualifying, as there are more wrecks and more destruction. And I think it is unconscionable if it really is a legitimate sport that we are going to take these machines and we are going to wreck them before we've ever had a green flag for competition. I have a problem with it. And again, I'm going to maybe hammer it home. I'm seeing more entertainment focus than I'm seeing legitimate competition focus. And that might be something I'm going to keep coming back to. I want to hear from anybody out there. Feel free to give us a call.
Well,
347-826-9964. Go ahead, Brandon. What do you think?
I'll give you this. I think they're trying to make the product more entertaining for television. I will concede that fact to you. If you mm-hmm. want to use the term entertainment, I think they are trying to make a better product for for television. As a matter of fact, that's been one of NHRA's biggest problems over the years, is their product is very hard to relate to television, because there's, you know, a very quick, you know, 4-second race, and then you wait an hour till the guy runs again.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes back to that. NASCAR, you know, especially qualifying on a big track, you know, this guy's going around the track by himself. I mean, really, what fun is watching one car go by himself? You know, till you get to the payoff of the time at the end. I mean, it's a lot of, there's a lot of downtime there.
No, so, I would agree. I would agree. But
that's,
I,
what they're,
again,
that's what they're looking for.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. But, you know, again, arguably the purists would say that, you know, when you really go to the essence of it, what are we looking for? We are looking for, at qualifying, we are looking for the best possible performance and the best possible speed. And arguably, while they were essentially provisional rounds, you know, some of our top running cars were those that belonged to, you know, Almirola, Stenhouse Jr., Carl Edwards, Jamie McMurray. They had some of the top qualifying speeds. But in fact, and for those that tend to be conspiratorial, what did we wind up seeing as a result of the qualifying? We saw essentially a ho-hum. Oh, guess who's on the front? We got Team Hendrick up front, right? We've got Earnhardt Jr. We've got Jimmy Johnson. Oh, we've got Jeff Gordon. Here he is. This is going to be his twilight full-time season. Seems a little pat to me. Now, again, while I might concede we can't control every nuance of the sport, it does open the argument, and I get the argument from those that say, well, come on, man, this is NASCAR. This is NASCAR 2015. They have decided who they want to see. Am I wrong? Is it?
Well, hey,
am I going crazy?
Now might be the time to bring in our own sidekick. He's on the ground down there in Daytona, and we know
okay.
He got to meet an actual driver the other day.
Okay.
I'm wondering if he said anything about qualifying.
Well, let's do that. Is he 267? Is that right?
That's Mr. Sidekick here. Let me
all
make
right.
him live here. Are you there, Sidekick? Sidekick? Uh-oh. Maybe his phone quit.
There we go.
There he is.
I was trying to get my phone unlocked. So,
how you doing?
Sidekick, good morning.
Good morning,
there in Daytona.
Boogity, boogity, boogity.
That's what I'm saying. Tell me something good. Tell me something good. How's the weather down there?
Beautiful, warm, sunny, no snow.
You know, if this wasn't a family-oriented show, I would have a comment for you right now.
Thanks, yo.
You know, it was.
Did you remember?
The ride in from Orlando to Ormond Beach was beautiful. Had the top down on the Chevy Camaro convertible, riding with the sun, jamming the rock. You know, it's a good day to be a NASCAR fan.
Did you at least remember shorts? The pack shorts?
No, I'm wearing jeans.
Ah, that's a... So anyway,
tell us
a little bit about who you met and if he had any, I don't know if he had anything to say about the qualifying or anything down there, but who'd you run across the other day?
Well, I happened to be out and about getting, you know, trying to, you know, do some inside reporting there down at Daytona, and I ran into one Cole Witt, fan of the show.
Yeah, that's great. Now, Cole Witt, he's driving this year. Am I right about this? I believe he now has moved over to BK Racing. He's still in the Toyota stable. Is that right?
Yes.
Or no.
He's in the Ford stable now.
There you go. Right.
He's a
Ford guy.
He likes what I ride. You know, I'm rocking the Fusion. He's rocking the Ford Fusion as well.
Okay, that's right.
I think he's now a teammate with David Reagan and David Gillian. I think they're all three teammates in the same organization. I can't think of the name off the top of the head, but
that would be, is it Extreme Motorsport?
Yeah, that's who that might be.
All right. Yeah, Cole Witt is out. Ryan Truex is out. Alex Bowman. That entire BK Racing team has completely changed, you know. We could chat about Toyota if we have time, but how was that meeting with Cole Witt? What could you tell us?
That was good. He gave me some inside fantasy tips for this weekend. So, you know, so we'll be, you know, probably chatting about that a little bit later. And that, but, you know, I didn't realize Cole was that short, though.
Yeah.
If you go and check out Facebook, you can see how short one Cole Whip is. He looks more like a horse racing jockey.
How about that? Yeah, well, you know, Matt Kenseth, he's a smaller dude. Jamie McMurray, he's a smaller dude. That's probably something to that for all the pilots, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mark Martin was always a really short dude, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you this, Sidekick. We were chatting about the unfortunate result yesterday that Steve Kyle Busch removed. I mean, he's out now. He's removed from competition. Safer barriers, dude. Is it time? Is it past time? It's been 14 years since we lost Dale Sr. to a death on the track, but NASCAR's focus seems to be increased revenue. Let's have more TV contracts. Let's take down stands, grandstands, so that the TV audience doesn't realize we aren't showing up. What's your take on this?
Well, I think in the wake of Dale Sr.'s death, I think NASCAR has shifted the focus some to safety. Shortly after that, we had the Hans device. They've been trying to make the cars safer and everything. So, I think they have put a focus on safety. There's been a lot of changes. I do think it's time to get the safer barriers in the tracks. And that, it's like you said, it's been 14 years. There should be some plan to have these put in at all the racetracks and that. So, but I, like you said, I also think they are trying to work on the fan experience. So, and trying to bring it into a new, a new high-tech kind of thing. And you see that with this Daytona Rising project that they've got going on down here that will be finished up next year. Next year will be the first year of the thing being fully redone. You know, for the last 2 years, it's been, they've been working on, I'm sitting in a new section this year. Last year I was in an old section. We were in Roberts Tower. So, and they've torn down, like you did mention, though, they on the backstretch, they did tear down the stands that were always empty.
Hey, Dave, we got a lot of echo in the background from you there. I don't know, is there something loud going on back there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here with a whole group of people.
Oh, okay. We're just, whatever reason, your phone mic is really picking everything up.
I'm on my Bluetooth headset. I can step outside here.
Yeah, it's a little...
My concern with the focus is that NASCAR appears to be somewhat knee-jerk about safety. On the one hand, yes, we're promoting driver safety. We're promoting responsibility for the sport. We want to see the growth. But at the same time, and yes, while they have erected safer barriers throughout, no matter where they go and erect the safer barriers where they have not, then in fact, I don't know, maybe it's just luck or fate or bad luck, a driver is going to find that particular stretch which has no safer barrier. So in fact, before perhaps we put the cart before the horse and continue to just mad stream our dollars to bottom line, perhaps maybe a redoubled focus of some safety issues have to be reexamined. And again, I asked at the top of the show with Brandon, and I asked the audience, last year with the Race Team Alliance, there was question, what are we going to see? Unions? Is that where we're going to go? And perhaps now with the recent events of Kyle Busch and Kurt Busch, both player safety and player conduct have come back into focus. I mean, what's your take? Is a union, quote, union, is that something maybe NASCAR is going to have to confront? Or, again, am I just crazy? No, it'll never happen. You'll never see that in this sport.
I don't know. It might happen. I could see there was a lot of driver upheaval yesterday, as we saw in the Twitterverse, of, you know, directly commenting on that project Sidekick was just telling us about the Daytona Rising. And they were making really snide comments about, yeah, we got all kind of money to build grandstands nobody will sit in, but we can't have safer walls to protect the guys putting on the show. I mean, there is a lot of driver backlash, you know, about that. And even Daytona came out and said, you know, well, we're going to get safer walls on every inch of this place as soon as we possibly can. And it's like, yeah, okay, let's address the situation after, you know, one of our premier guys is now potentially out for, you know, maybe the season. I mean, he's certainly not going to be a player in the championship, that's for sure. You know, so that might be the impetus to spark a union. I don't know. I'm not sure how that would start. I don't know how you start. In other words, I don't know what would be the call. I guess you'd have to have a big name like a Jeff Gordon, a Jimmy Johnson, a Dale Jr. come out and say, hey, this is what we need to do, and then they needs to get, you know, then they all need to get together, I guess. So,
well, you're absolutely right.
Until we see that.
You're absolutely right, and I'll tell you exactly how I think we start it and who the big names are. And I'm just going to real quick hit off a few of the tweets that you just mentioned there. Brandon Casey Kane, his tweet immediately after: all we do is wreck at Daytona, and that massive wall has no safer barrier. Unbelievable. Jimmy Johnson, oh, you love him or you hate him. Everybody calls him vanilla. Everybody calls him NASCAR's boy. Man, I hope Kyle Busch is all right, he tweeted. It's beyond me why we don't have soft walls everywhere. Recently installed, I mean, probably just minutes ago, Reagan Smith, who now will be piloting the 41 on behalf of the Stewart Haas Racing Team for the foreseeable future, replacing Kurt Busch, tweeted out, I am genuinely furious right now. Any wall in any of the top three series without safer barriers is inexcusable. It's 2015. And, you know, give you one more here from Jeff Burton. These drivers deserve safer barriers everywhere. It's very expensive, but we have to find a way. So, here we go. And this goes right to the porch of Vice President Steve O'Donnell. This goes right to Mike Helton. This goes right to Brian France. As they tell us that there's growth in the sport, as I read the open letter, I wonder if it was written half tongue in cheek when he writes, quote, as we embark on 2015, we are excited to start a new 10-year agreement with our great partners at Fox Sports and to welcome NBC Sports back to NASCAR. With Fox and NBC, we have two world-class media companies committed to bringing NASCAR excitement, should I put in parentheses, death on the track in there too, to great fans in bigger and better ways. Gentlemen, I see sensation and I see entertainment, but I don't know that I see legitimate competition, and that's where I'm at. And I don't want to be cynical because I like this sport. And as we go through, we're going to get into our fantasy picks because we all play the fantasy side of the game. And we're going to get into a fun little segment where we call it just for Frat House Sports, you know, Eat My Dust, NASCAR winner pick 'em. So, I mean, we are gearheads here. And we like the NASCAR. That's right. But I'm wondering, was that Brian France just giving me a sort of devilish laugh in there? I'm wondering. Tell me what you think. Give us a call. 347-826-9964. We're going to see Matt Crafton. We understood yesterday he's going to be piloting the number 18 for Joe Gibbs Racing commencing today at Daytona. We have no actual definitive on who will pilot the 18 for Joe Gibbs Racing coming into the year, you know, and it was going to originally be a topic of discussion. We could briefly touch on it, and that was Toyota, you know, last year. Very, very difficult year for that manufacturer. You know, TRD had not really the competitive edge that we've seen in years past. Certainly Joe Gibbs Racing, who is a, I guess they carried the flag, let's be honest. Michael Waltrip Racing was down to essentially a two-car stable for all intent and purpose. They're two cars today, but Brian Vickers will not be returning. So, at least for another couple of weeks. So, I mean, it's Clint Boyer kind of going to carry the flag for Toyota with that outfit. But Joe Gibbs Racing represents Toyota. And, you know, here we were going to have Kyle, right? We're counting on Matt Kenseth, most consistent driver, without a doubt, last year through the chase. You know, Denny Hamlin runs actually very well at restrictor plate tracks. And who did we add but Carl Edwards? My goodness, this was going to be a powerhouse. Some questions lingering for Toyota, but now I think there's a great deal of doubt from not only the manufacturer's standpoint, but certainly this is a major, major impact possibly for Joe Gibbs and the Toyota stable. What's your thought, Brandon? I mean, NASCAR's going to tell us everything's good. Toyota's going to tell us we're still going to be competitive, but I mean, we've just lost maybe a torpedo has just been fired through Toyota's hopes, possibly, no?
Well, it's certainly going to hurt them. With the addition of Carl Edwards to Denny Hamlin, Matt Kenseth, and Kyle Busch, well, I don't know if we put Stuart Haas in the same boat, you know, especially with the loss of Kurt Busch, but, you know, they'd be right there. I mean, you could have a Rick Hendrick, Joe Gibbs Racing battle all season long, and it certainly hurts them. I mean, Kyle Busch was a premier guy. He could drive anything, and he's always up front, likes to lead laps. He's very aggressive. I mean, you're taking a heavy hitter out of that team. I think guys like Carl Edwards and Hamlin and Kenseth complement him real well because, you know, they're not, especially Carl and Kenseth, they're not necessarily always the most aggressive. You know, they tend to try to bide their time and, you know, make their moves towards the end where Kyle and Denny are more, I want to be up front and run all the time. So, yeah, that's a big blow. That's a big blow. And I'll be honest with you, NASCAR cannot be happy because if you think about it, it was setting up for a nice little battle between Hendrick and Gibbs. Now it's kind of lost a little bit of its luster, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Without Kyle. That 18 car will still be out there, but, you know, who's Matt Crafton? I mean, come on now.
Right, and going forward, who will be the pilot of that 18? You know, before I go further, I'm going to express on behalf of us here at Frat House Sports, whether you like him or you don't, and I will say that he pretty much has a good fan following right here at Frat House Sports. A lot of us here like Kyle. I'm not necessarily speaking for myself. He's not my main guy, but you know, Kyle is well known for doing just remarkable things. He runs from the back of the pack and moves his way through and takes the lead. And this is a very, very, very probably the most difficult run of his career in which we're going to hope and, you know, perhaps pray or wish that in fact he can do that again for himself now. And even beyond returning as a pilot, that he can return to health after such a horrific accident and that he will, once again, you know, race from the back of the pack because certainly it would appear that he is buried under a world of hurt. And so all of our good wishes go out to Kyle Busch, his family. And, you know, I'll express a bit of hope, I guess, for his brother Kurt as well, who goes through his own particular problems and dilemmas. I'm going to throw it out there one more time for everybody who's listening. We are chatting some NASCAR here. We are going to move about and talk a little NHRA as we go forward. But if you have a thought, if you have a question, we are here at Daytona. This is the big event. It's a big deal here at Frat House Sports. We are going to have a nice group joining us here at the house today to watch the Daytona 500, 57th running. I mean, it's a big, big deal. This really is. I mean, in many ways for NASCAR, it's the Super Bowl. But for us here as fans, as gearheads, this is the Super Bowl. We've been looking forward to this. I know, Brandon, you have. Frat House Mike, I know he has. And this is This is a great – this should be a great day. This should be a big nonstop celebration. But, again, you know, between all of the chaos and the nonsense that's gone on from qualifying, the questions about, you know, controversy and that, we have the Budweiser duels. Yeah, they kind of were fun, but who's up front? But Hendrick and – you know, we got Earnhardt Johnson, and we've got Gordon essentially 1-2-3. They're going to start this thing off. So that kind of questions, is the fix really in? You know, there was some kind of fun, just, you know, we could kick it. You know, the Patrick, Danica Patrick, Denny Hamlin fray, you know, we had two parts of that as they kind of went back and forth, and supposedly Hamlin turned Patrick, you know, a couple times, once into the wall. You know, that built for some good, compelling excitement. But, again, I'm wondering, has it all started to crash and burn? And is it going to, instead of being the premier event that starts at the top and keeps growing up, are we starting at the top today and maybe we're already on the way down? I certainly hope not. Again, I don't want to be that cynical to think that might be the case, but perhaps this is an inauspicious beginning for NASCAR, and I'm going to hope that they can rebound well and that they can make some changes. Give us a call. Let us know. 347-826-9964. Brandon, do we have anybody on the line? I'm curious. You can see.
No, I think we're good. We got Dave on with us. We got Fred, okay. I mean, Sidekick. We have Frat House right. Mike waiting in the wings here. So,
oh.
Yeah, we're...
Oh, we have Frat House Mike. Can we bring him in, do you think?
Sure.
Oh, I'll do that. Let's open the window here and let Frat House Mike on board.
Let's
get his.
I want to hear what he has to say, because we all know Frat House Mike loves Kyle Busch.
Well,
he's
yeah.
got to be a little devastated,
well,
you know, starting the first race. Oh.
Why
can't we just get in the running car?
Yeah. Well, he was in the running car, and clearly there was some kind of problem there. He didn't have a problem starting. Evidently, NASCAR didn't want to help him stop.
Are you crazy?
No, yeah. Unfortunately, I wish I was. Fred, how's Mike? Good morning.
Yeah, how we doing, guys? I'll tell you. Yeah, you're right. I mean, listen. I nonetheless, I'm sitting here right now, and I'm donning my M&M's 18 jersey with my name on the back, of course, in honor of Kyle. Because look, I make no qualms about it. I have been a Kyle fan, and I will continue to be. Yeah, when I saw what happened yesterday, you know, in some respects, it took me back, but it kind of just annoys me to see the Cuppers out there running in the Xfinity Series, another reason why I would prefer just to get the Cup guys out of that series altogether. Now, that's not to say that would have prevented the situation, because God knows, obviously, there was a weak link at Daytona that needs to be addressed right there in that particular section. They don't have the safer barriers. So, obviously, that's going to be something they're going to have to address. But, you know, wow. I was so hoping, and I know you guys have already kind of chatted about it already, I was so hoping for this JGR team. I really like everybody on the Joe Gibbs team. I've been a big fan of the Toyotas for years. I've been disappointed with their performance in the past year and a half. And I, you know, the question that I had coming into the season, as you did, Uncle Mark, was, has Toyota Racing Development solved some of their problems? It certainly appeared that way. I guess in the past week or so, we saw it at the Unlimited. We saw it through qualifying last Sunday. We saw it in the duels. So it appeared that perhaps they had perhaps maybe corrected some of their problems. And you throw Carl Edwards into the mix. My God almighty, that is a juggernaut team, as you pointed out.
Yep, absolutely. And Brandon said it too. This was going to be – I thought this was going to match up nicely against – the stable of Hendrick drivers.
Oh, absolutely. And that's not to take anything away from...
Stuart Haas.
Yeah, well, for Stuart Haas, it's not to take anything away from, you know, what they were before, what JGR was before, you know, and to say that, well, okay, simply adding Carl Edwards was the missing link. No, not at all. I think the combination of if Toyota had solved their motor issues, plus the addition of Carl Edwards. Now you got the making of a team that potentially could dominate up, down. I mean, if everybody – you only have to remember just back – just wasn't that long ago. Matt Kenseth ruled, what was it, two seasons ago?
Yeah, 2013. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, you know, you got Kenseth in there. And listen, Hamlin had some health issues, back problems and what have you. And if he's strong and he looked good, in my opinion, in qualifying and in some of the other lesser races that we've seen so far, I really had a lot of hope for it. I'm not saying that JGR will still not perform well. I think Carl Edwards will. He looks strong. That car he's driving looks strong. I think Kenseth is going to have a rebound year. But it really would be nice if we could have the 18 in there the way it should be. But it's not appearing that way so far. I mean, from all the indications early on, it might be season ending.
Yeah, but,
yeah.
You know, you mentioned Carl Edwards coming in, right?
Yes.
Look at Kenseth for a year that you talked about, 2013. When a driver comes into JGR, they have almost a career year when they join that organization. So I'm thinking you're going to see big things out of Carl Edwards this year. Kyle Busch is a loss. We know he's a premier driver, but he wasn't that much of a factor last year. And then you bring in the X factor for JGR now with Crafton, who potentially could, you know, pull into a season, you know, a full-time ride at Sprint Cup. You know, and, you know, if you look at Crafton, he was back-to-back, I believe, Truck Series winner
right.
for the last
yep.
two seasons. The first guy to do that in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously this is going to be his first Sprint Cup race on the big stage, Daytona, okay? And, you know, and he's kind of that X factor. But if he does good today, he may have a ride for the season. And he could be that X factor for JGR. You know, obviously Hendrick is dominant. I don't think, you know, with Stuart Haas, you know, you're losing Kurt Busch, but Kurt Busch really wasn't, you know, other than, you know, helping Danica get into the 500, he's really not that big of a factor either. You know what I mean? To be honest, you know.
What do you have?
He
do you have?
Runs
one win?
Well.
One win.
Yeah,
last,
one,
you know.
Yeah, one win last year. And that was relatively early.
And he is a defending champion. Let's not forget that. I mean,
right.
You've got Harvick
exactly.
and Tony Stewart and
right.
And Kurt that are all former champions. That's pretty powerhouse. Of the four, the Stuart Haas, Danica's kind of the joke. I mean, not really
yeah.
a joke, but, I mean, she doesn't bring
it's
anything to the
outrage.
Table. That's
an outrage.
That's
say
more what
about
I'm
her.
Saying. Doesn't
it's
bring much
outrage.
To the table.
Yeah, it's an outrage.
She better show something this year, because isn't this the last year of her contract with Stuart?
Yeah, correct.
It is.
Correct, yes.
So, yeah, she better do something. She could find herself going back to open wheel. I know
well,
she's come out and said she doesn't want to.
Out of curiosity, I mean, I, you know, I when it comes to NASCAR, I'm probably the least, you know, of the four of us here. You know, my sport, as everybody knows, is when it comes to motorsports, is really more NHRA. But I mean, does anybody here really think that Matt Crafton might be driving the 18 for the whole frickin' season?
Could be.
It could be.
I think he might
know.
Be.
I don't think
he could be trying to find another replacement.
Here's the problem, though, I think you have with that, Fred House, Mike, is I don't know once you declare which series you're collecting points in if you can change
right.
it.
Right.
Because he's probably already declared, he's going to defend his Craftsman truck
in the
or
truck. Yeah.
camping truck world. You can't collect points in both. So I don't
well.
Think
well, that.
That
would be then JGR has given up on this car.
Well, no,
well,
not necessarily. They could find someone. Here's the other thing that I'll just piggyback on what Brandon mentioned. Let's not forget, Camping World Truck does not run every week at the same track that
yeah.
Sprint Cup does. So logistically, there could be issues if, in fact, there is a conflict
exactly.
because we are running in, World America. What is the track up there that you mentioned?
Road America.
Road America. But, in fact, you know, that same week we might be running in Martinsville. I mean, what's the possibility this man's going to be able to jet across the country and that kind of thing, too? So there could be some just basic logistical issues. And piggybacking what Brandon said, you know, once you have declared to one national series, I don't know how much rule bending, although it's NASCAR, folks, and they do bend
in
the rules.
In theory.
As we go. So possibly I'm all wet here, but, you know, it could logistically be an issue.
He could run the majority of the 18 car, but he just wouldn't be able to run for the championship. I guess the car would still accrue owner's points.
I would think so.
You know,
as long as it qualifies and runs, right.
Yeah. I think anybody can drive that car.
Chase,
right.
Anybody can drive that car and get owner's points.
From
right.
an owner's
right.
standpoint, correct.
What they would do if they were smart is they would try to find somebody they could put in full time and at least make a run for, you know, to keep the car in the chase.
That's right. Well, that's what
I don't
thinking.
Know. Maybe they are thinking it with Crafton. I don't know.
Wouldn't you think M&M's would want that? I mean, look, M&M's has been a longtime sponsor, has been around in NASCAR for a long, long time. You got to think M&M's is going to be putting some pressure on that.
Okay, well, I said that last night.
That may be why they haven't announced Crafton full-time, where they're saying, okay, he's going to run this week, and we're going to think about it. And they may be talking to NASCAR, trying to find out, hey, I know that Crafton declared for the truck series, but, you know, hey, due to, you know, extenuating circumstances, we lost, you know, we potentially lost Kyle Busch for the season. You know, can we get a little leniency here, and can we move Crafton over or something, you know?
Well,
they may be trying to figure out what they can, you know, what they can potentially do here, and they may try to get NASCAR to give them some sort of exception.
Let me ask this question. Brandon, you might know because I know you've got the longevity. Has it ever been done or could it be done where you would see, say, somebody like, Carl Edwards being new to the team, that you could see Carl leaving his 19 car, going to the 18, and then taking a Crafton and putting him in that particular car because of sponsorship issues?
I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean, because unfortunately, the way the contracts are written, you know, the contracts of the sponsors they have for the 19 car were written for, you know, Carl Edwards. I don't know that his sponsors would be jumping up and down happy about that, you know, doing that. I mean, because, I think what they need to do is just, even if they don't go with Crafton, if they could come up with a driver, a full-time driver to run beginning next week, that car is more than capable of winning. It could establish a quote-unquote, win to get into a chase because that car is strong. NASCAR's already clarified the chase rules that as long as you have run every race you qualified for, you know, even if you don't have to qualify for every race, you can still be chase eligible. They could come up with another driver in a week or two, you know, in theory, and just bank on the fact that, okay, we're going to put this 18 in the winner's circle to get it into the chase.
Yep.
All we got to do is get, you know, top 30 of points.
Right.
That's not that hard to do, even missing two races. So they could, in theory, get it if they get somebody in quickly and committed. And, you know, maybe they pull somebody from Busch Series or Xfinity Series.
Right.
You know, who's not a champion contender. See, this is where I think you have the problem with Crafton. He's the defending champion, and all his sponsors that he signed his contracts for are expecting him to defend, you know, Craftsman Truck title. I mean, so it's, you know, you have a level of commitment there. You know, you'd have to get a guy who doesn't have the hardcore sponsor or, you know, somebody is short on funding or, you know, something like that. Maybe a Bobby Labonte guy would be good.
Well, I'm going to throw an option here into the mix, and that would be that what I sort of call the, quote, dark horse racing team that is Toyota affiliated, and that would be BK Racing. That entire racing team has turned over personnel from 2014 to 2015. As I mentioned, Cole Witt is out. Ryan Truex is out. Alex Bowman is out. Who is in over there, and how deeply sponsored are they? Well, I'll give you three names that very possibly could do what we're speculating about, because they have the Toyota team alliance and affiliation. Johnny Sauter, who runs at the Lower National Series, is only going to drive a limited number of Cup Series races this year in the 83. Also available, J.J. Yealey is running. Supposedly, he is full-time. He has full-time sponsorship to run at the Cup level in the 23. And we're looking at a Rookie of the Year candidate, although he did not qualify in the Daytona, and that would be Jeb Burton. He's also available driving the number 26 Toyota Camry. So BK Racing might do itself a favor if, in fact, they would provide one of these drivers or even a series of these drivers intermittently to the Joe Gibbs stable for, you know, the running of the 18 this year. Because I would think BK Racing is not completely locked down to sponsorship. They are sort of a dark horse, smaller team. As I say, they've turned over all their personnel, so none of these drivers are necessarily locked in with contracts that would be prohibitive. What do you all think out there? What are we going to do with the 18 car? We're going to miss it a great, great deal. I would think any NASCAR fan out there would miss the 18 this year the same way that Stuart Haas fans a year ago missed the 14 of Tony Stewart when he was absent for three races. This is a big, big hole. This is not good for the sport. How do we handle it? What's your opinion? Do you have thoughts out there? Give us a call, 347-826-9964. Brandon, what do you think?
We do have some feedback from one of our listeners, Liz Skarnecki. He's out there and messaging us that she gives Bobby Labonte a vote, and she pointed out, which I forgot, I did not say when I brought his name up, he is a former Joe Gibbs Racing driver. He does have familiarity with the organization. You know, that is almost a perfect fit if you think about it to a degree. You know, he has the familiarity. He actually did drive the 18 car before Kyle. So, you know, it may be a perfect fit. Give it a run for the championship. I don't know, you know, if he wants to run full time. I know he's been running very limited races, and he's driving the 32 car this week at Daytona, the car his
today,
brother drove.
Yeah,
so
he's running
a Ford. Be able to fill in. Well, yeah, but I don't think that car, that's not a car that has ties per se. That car is a very lightly funded. They have different sponsors, rotating
silver,
drivers.
Silver. It was almost a white car. It's just a silver paint scheme.
Well,
so I hear you.
I think he's starting for the 43rd position today, isn't
he's coming
well,
from the back.
He's got in on a champion provisional,
past
champion.
Right.
So, you know, he'd probably be available, and he probably is only scheduled to run a handful of races in that car anyway.
I would agree. So. And you've got experience there. You've got maturity there. You know, you're not taking a rookie. You're not taking a young kid that might go out there and you know, because they have the inexperience, you know, all of a sudden they're accidentally putting, you know, a couple of million-dollar vehicle into the wall. Thanks to Liz. Liz is, by the way, a real good fan of ours here from Frat House Sports, and she's all the way up there in Toronto, Canada.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, that's very cool. That's wonderful that she's checking in with us. We
appreciate thank you, Liz.
That.
Thank
Liz.
You.
Spread the word. Spread the word and help us grow this thing, because we're just a bunch of gearheads here, you know, just talking out loud, and that's really what it's all about. And we appreciate that from the chat room. We appreciate it if you want to reach out to us, 347-826-9964. We're gonna probably move it around a little, but here's what I want to do. Let's lighten the mood just a little bit, because I want to get an NHRA update from our very own Fred House Mike. But before we do that, I just thought we would kind of, I don't know, jump over the pit wall and do a little random speculation in a lighter way for the 2015 series at Cup level. I mean, it's a brand new year. I mean, I'm excited. I think we all are. And I'm going to throw it out there for speculation. You know, we can kick it off with Brandon. I'm going to throw you a question now. Let's see, for the chase that's going to eventually decide champion of 2015, we had a dozen different drivers last year qualify with wins in the chase of 2014. Let me ask you, Brandon, is that number going to go up? Is it going to go down? Do you see more than a dozen different race winners this year for 2015? What say you?
Well, I think that was pretty high last year, I'll be honest with you. Normally you get more guys that win multiple races. We didn't have we had Harvick and Keselowski and Logano, who all had like 3, 4, 5 wins, but we never had a 6, 7, 8 race winner last year. And sometimes we get that, and that would lower the number. I think 10 to 12 probably. I don't see more. We do have a pretty good spread of, you know, cars that could win. I mean, we just mentioned all four Hendrick, all four Gibbs. I mean, I would expect all of them to have wins. That's about eight. Throw in a, you know, Gibbs, Harvick's going to get a couple. Yeah, I guess we are going to, you know, the more you think about this, you're probably going to get.
Stewart
Haas.
Yeah,
you might get 12. Yeah, you got Haas, you got Harvick, you got Stewart. I don't know that Danica's going to win, but, you know, I think if he did, the world would end or something. But
oh, man.
Well, that's because I understand she got a little loose in the rear, but I've got to ask.
No.
Let me ask you, Sidekick, are you still with me over there, Sidekick? I've got a question for you. In 2015, do you think we're going to have a first-time race winner that we didn't have before? Brandon just mentioned, of course, Danica Patrick. We've never seen her win at the Cup level even one time. Do you suppose we're going to see a brand-new first-time Sprint Cup Series race winner? I'm not talking champion, but race winner. You want to pull a name out and offer one up for us?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Sure.
I think we will see a winner this year. And I'm going with the guy that almost made it so many times last year, Kyle Larson.
Ooh, how about that?
The number 42.
Mm-hmm.
You could probably throw Austin Dillon in there, too.
I was just going to say, I actually think it's going to be Austin Dillon.
Yeah, you might see him. You might watch that RCR car team today. They run well at these restrictor tracks.
Yep.
I like that Jamie McMurray. I like that Jamie McMurray.
Go.
You know, I think
he's won before.
I know. I'm just showing my own bias. You know, it's unfortunate. Boy, you want to talk about always bridesmaid, never the bride. Boy, that guy has been so close on so many years to make the chase. But always missed out. I mean, he got so close to where he could smell it. He could smell it, but he could never make that final. So, you know, I'm gonna answer my own question. You know, who's gonna be maybe a first time into the chase this year? And I'm gonna throw that one out there. I like Jamie McMurray. Frat House Mike, let me ask you this: what driver? In 2015, just give us a name. Think about it. What driver will lead all other drivers in the total number of wins this year? In other words, who do you think might be the winningest driver of those that do make the chase ultimately?
Oh, that's
is it going to be Gordon? Is it going to be a Hendrick guy? Is this Junior's year? Of course, everyone wants to believe it's Gordon's year. You know, he's on his swan song. Who do you like this year? I would have said Kyle Busch, actually, had you asked me yesterday. But now, of course, that's all changed. What do you think?
Well, stick with the car. I'll say Matt Crafton.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
No. Seriously, I'm going to be honest with you. I have given this some thought. And I actually believe, I'm going to go back to my JGR team. I believe that Kenseth is going to have another season like he had. Maybe not quite as, he might not have quite the number of wins, but I think you could see Matt Kenseth lead the pack with the most number of wins.
All right. Let's see. I've got one more. Do I? I wrote down a couple. I'll be honest with you. This morning, I had the outline, and the entire outline blew up because everything. I mean, this story.
Yeah, everything got changed.
NASCAR.
Well, sure.
This story has kind of written itself.
Welcome to live radio.
Yeah, precisely. Hey, Brandon, who's the winningest team this year? Who do you think for 2015? What team? It was Team Penske last year, and you know, not for nothing. I know Fred House Mike likes to call them Team Pesky because boy, were they that Logano and
well, they are. They still are.
Oh well, we'll see. They've been somewhat quiet thus far, but last year, of course, Team Penske they took the owner's points. Who do you like this year? Who do you see this year, Brandon? Just throw that out to us.
You know, as I said earlier, I mean, between Hendrick and Gibbs, you have like two super teams. So I think it's going to be one of them too. I mean, even with the loss of Kyle Busch, it's a tough loss. But I think the Gibbs cars are still going to, as Mike just pointed out, I think Kenseth is going to do well. I think Carl Edwards is going to have a great year.
Yep.
Denny Hamlin seems like a man possessed because he's had nothing but bad luck the last few years. You know, I kind of got to give it to them. I mean, Hendrick's been dominant, but, you know, I think Toyota's been winning the offseason, and generally there's an ebb and a flow to NASCAR. And last year you kind of had the Fords with the Penske cars winning the most. You know, Hendrick was still winning their share at the RCRs, and you got the Stewart Haas. So I think it's Toyota's turn to come to the top. I think you're going to see the Gibbs cars win the
most.
So
do I. Yep. Well, I agree with you, Brandon. I think that I think there's the past couple of seasons where, again, I go back to the engine issues that we've been seeing from Toyota probably in the past two seasons, really more the past season and a half. I based on everything I've seen up to this point so far, I'm really hoping that Toyota's got that problem solved. And if they do, and I have a feeling they do, which is why the loss of the number 18, boy, it just makes it all the more difficult.
Sidekick pointed it out earlier. Carl Edwards is in his first year of that team, and he's going to have a huge year like Kenseth did. And Kenseth has already had a great start to Speed Weeks. He won the Unlimited in pretty dominant fashion last week. I think that team's perched. I mean, even, you know, you got to give them credit. I mean, Hamlin yesterday had the fastest happy hour speed. So, you know, every one of the Gibbs cars has made some noise.
Yep. Has made some noise. I'll tell you what, I'm going to be in the minority here, but not for nothing. I like Team Penske. I like what I saw last year. I'm not a big fan, per se, personally, of Joey Logano or Brad Keselowski, but I'm giving both of those young men, one's a kid in my view, but both of those young men, I'm going to give props, and I do like Team Penske again this year. My heart is going to go to Chip Ganassi Racing, though, because I like Jamie Mack, and I really, really like last year's Rookie of the Year, Kyle Larson, and, you know, they're going to play to my fantasy side without reservation this year. All right, here's what we're going to do. We've got about a little more than 20 minutes to go. I want to just I'm going to let Fred House, Mike, you've got some information for us on NHRA. I'm going to let you give us a quick update on NHRA, and then we'll come back before, you know, we're done. We want to just get our fantasy picks in here for Daytona. Yep. We are on the countdown to the green flag. So give us a quick look. What's going on out there in Phoenix, Arizona for today's finals in the heats of NHRA world?
Yeah, I'll run it down for you. And again, I'll make it quick because, I mean, we do want to get to our eat my dust picks too for the week. But, you know, it's been 2 weeks since we saw any kind of NHRA action. That was out at Pomona. That was the opening of the NHRA season at the Winter Nationals. And just to run things down, how things ended up there, over in Top Fuel, Sean Langdon ran his knuckle sandwich Top Fuel dragster down the track, beating Don Schumacher Racing's Anton Brown last week or 2 weeks ago. Now, this was an interesting situation because here comes Sean Langdon in there without any sponsorship really whatsoever just 4 weeks ago as the Allanabi Racing Team bailed out. And who's sponsoring his car? Well, how about Chef Guy Fieri? Yeah, that's who's sponsoring Sean Langdon in the knuckle sandwich car. We'll see how long that lasts. But if Sean Langdon keeps winning, perhaps maybe Guy Fieri will keep sponsoring. But there goes Anton Brown out in the first one. But, hey, plenty of time. Over in Funny Car, Matt Hagen kept up exactly where he left off at the end of last season. Again, we've got two Don Schumacher Racing guys going up against each other in the finals 2 weeks ago. Matt Hagen goes up against Ron Capps. Matt Hagen comes out the winner. And in Pro Stock, Jason Lyne beat rookie Drew Skillman. Skillman is the second driver now put in there by the Elite Motorsports. His teammate, of course, is Erica Ender Stevens, who is the reigning champion. There's Skillman. He makes it all the way to the finals against Jason Lyne. Jason Lyne beat him out in Pro Stock. So that's how things ended up 2 weeks ago. And, of course, that's where the standings are as well at this point because we've only had one race under our belt. Sean Langdon leads in Top Fuel, Matt Hagen in Funny Car, and Pro Stock, it's Jason Lyne. But how are things right now today? We're out at the Auto Parts Nationals in Phoenix, and the way things are shaping up for today after a number of rounds of qualifying over in the Top Fuel, Tony Schumacher's got the number one spot over there. He's had a tremendous weekend where, in fact, he had a personal best run yesterday. I had it up on our Facebook page. You can actually see the video of it, and it's gotten hundreds and hundreds of views. So look for that DSR team to be strong again. In the number two spot, you got Doug Coletta, and in the three spot, you got Richie Crampton. That's in Top Fuel. over in Funny Car. Well, any surprises here? Matt Hagen holds the number one spot. In number two, you got Courtney Force. So the JFR teams are in there. In the number three spot, you got Del Worsham. And over in the Pro Stock, Erica Ender Stevens right now is holding the number one spot. Number two is Roger Brogdon, and in three, Drew Skillman. That Elite Motorsports team. Interesting. You know, one of the things, Brandon, you and I noticed from Pomona 2 weeks ago, obviously sponsorship seems to be a bit of an issue. Elite Motorsports comes out shortly after Pomona, a couple of, I guess it was last week sometime, indicating that Erica may not be able to run all of her races. In fact, might miss about one-third of the season. They've gone and thrown a second driver in there with Skillman, but that Elite Motorsports team, obviously very, very strong. So, I don't know where the whole sponsorship thing's going to fall down, but it seems to me, at least early on so far in the NHRA season, it seems to be a bit of an issue. But
I'll tell you, you just pointed something out interesting there. I think the Skillman addition was to attract more sponsors. Skillman's been a young, up-and-coming kid in lower series, and he comes out and makes the final, his first round out. I think that's Elite Motorsports trying to, set the hook, as they say, to get some more sponsors in for the whole team. Because they already said he's only going to run the first few races because he don't have near the sponsorship even Erica has. So I think that was I honestly think them putting the second car on the track was an attempt to, attract. And maybe it was a more or less an audition. Maybe they had somebody there, at Pomona last week watching to see, how's this kid going to perform at the highest level? I think he did pretty good going all the way to the final round.
Went to the finals, And I'm going to say, here you go. We're going into today's round four, and he's sitting third on the ladder. So, obviously, Elite's got their act together, and I got to give them a lot of credit right there, particularly if things are as financially difficult as they're indicating that they are. Brandon, I think we got – do we have a caller on the line? I think we do. I think we're going to want to bring them in, don't we?
Oh, I'm not sure who it is. Hang on.
Well,
here.
let's check this
one
out.
Well, let's just do it.
Yeah, why not?
Hello, thanks for joining us. Who do we got on the line?
Hey, how you boys doing? How you doing? This here's Wallen Maltrip. How you all doing up there?
How you doing
today? This is Daytona. I'm a big, big fan. I've been following your show now for pretty near an hour, and I just had to call in. I'm calling down here from Kentucky. We live right near T-Berry. T-Berry is like that old chewing gum. And here in Owensboro, I think it's colder than up there. Y'all got a copy on me?
Yeah. I think we do, huh?
I just wanted to say, that Danica Patrick, she drives so fast and she drives so so good that I tell you, I think y'all missing the boat up there if y'all aren't getting on board with that GoDaddy. Because I tell you what, we have track to pull races down here. Y'all, I don't know if y'all are familiar with track to pull races, but I got me a championship vehicle, and we named it Danica for her. I had to use some old spray paint, but I put a big old orange tin on that there, and she's just wonderful. We've been winning one race after another. It's a little bit cold and muddy today, so we didn't really get a chance to do much this morning. But I just wanted to say, I think you maybe want to don't sleep on that one, because she'll wake you up in a hurry.
Well, are you picking Danica to win today there, Wally?
Oh, you better believe it. I picked her right up out of my nose this morning because I was a little bit congested. Like I say, it's probably colder here than it is up there. And I ain't want to call and hold you up or nothing, but I just wanted to say y'all are doing a great job up there, and you keep that NASCAR stuff coming, because this girl, she's going to be your winner today. That's number one. And number two, I'll be listening in. I might have to call back. Oh, I got the okay. All right, I got to go. My wife said I got to move the car. Okay, but I'll be listening. All right, thanks for talking to me, and I know we'll You call me back. Okay.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, caller.
that was
entertaining right there.
If I got it right, I think that was Wally Maltrip.
I'm not sure what we just had there. I'm not sure. not really sure what just happened there. I don't know. You know, I'm sitting here and I'm just wondering out loud. I am really not sure. Okay. All right, guys. The NHRA stuff is great. We're going to be trying to keep up with NHRA. Yeah, we thank. What was his name?
Wally Maltrip,
Wally
called, I think.
Well, I think. I'm, well, that's
and,
cool. I,
hey, listen.
That's
listen.
What we
know,
need, though. We need
exactly.
the live. We need the live
yeah, exactly.
reach out. Anybody that's out there, 347-826-9964, reach out and give us a holler. Go ahead, Fred House, Mike. We're going to move.
No, I was going to say, yeah. I mean, you know, listen. You know, you just said it right. I mean, we want to hear from fans. We want to hear from fans of NASCAR. We want to hear from listeners who are out there. And, you know, Wally's obviously a big Danica fan, and that's fine. You know, we'll have to wait and see whether he's going to be, you know, is he going to be supporting her next week at Atlanta? So we'll have to wait and see, I guess.
Well,
Sidekick, what do you think about that Molly pick there of Danica? You think she's going to – how would you feel if you're sitting there live and you're watching that green number 10 up front?
Sidekick there?
Uh-oh, he might be muted.
Yeah, he probably
yep.
is.
Yeah, I'm muted.
There he is. What do you think? You think
she ain't
going to
be there for long.
Ah.
There's a wall with her name on it.
Uh-oh.
Well, yeah, I hope there's a safer barrier. I'm just saying.
Yeah, really.
Are you
well,
not,
no,
not
in
the drone
after
strike?
All we've seen, I hope she doesn't hit a concrete wall because, like her or not, I don't want to see the gal taken away in an ambulance, right?
Oh, no.
No.
We're
going to
say, well, let's not lose sight on what I started. You know, is this sports or is it entertainment or is it both or convoluted? But, All right, let's redirect. You know, we had a funny thing. We all sat around and we chatted last night, and we came up with a funny sort of contest, and this will be fun for Sidekick, Brandon, Fred House, Mike, even I'll jump in. Why not? We're going to call this what? What did we say it's going to be called? The Eat My Dust. NASCAR Pick'em.
Yep.
And what we'll do, give us a breakdown, Fred House, Mike. We're going to pick a winner, right? We need to pick a winner of the race today, and we'll keep this thing going. Is that right?
Yeah, correct. We will keep track. Everybody picks one winner, one person they think is going to take the checkered. And if you are correct in your assessment, you will get 5 points for that week for that race.
Okay.
If your driver comes in second, you get four points. If you come in third, it's three. Come in fourth, it's two. Come in fifth, it's one. Below top five, you're not counted at all. And then we will keep track of everybody's points throughout the entire season, and we'll see who turns out to be the guy that everybody's eating their dust from.
Well, we know
that
Brandon,
did that sound
Brandon
right?
has
that
essentially
sound right.
told us that we will be eating his dust.
That's
so
what he told us.
Let's kick it off with Brandon then. You make the first pick. It's Daytona. Now we're going to pick these each race week, so obviously it's the Daytona race. Brandon, who's the winner today? Who's our winning driver?
Well, before I give you my pick, I just want to point out, if you go back and listen to the last few race trim shows from last year, I was on a streak of about 5 weeks in a row where I gave you the winner between Harvick and, mm-hmm. and Keselowski and all of them. So I was on a roll at the end of last year. If I can just continue that, that's why I'm being a little cocky. Maybe I'm putting my foot in my mouth. I don't know.
Get some
but here we go.
Do you have any championship rings?
Yeah, that might be a good
yeah.
idea.
Hey. Yeah, you're
just saying. Three times.
Yeah. Hey,
all right.
I'm going
to
tell you
Jack
who I'm
Wagon?
Here.
Oh, boy, it's getting better.
You guys all know who I'm going to pick here because Dale Jr. is the rogue. He's my guy, and he's one of the best drafters out there. That's who I'm going with, Dale Jr.
Okay. All right. Sidekick, who do you like today? Who's the winning driver, Sidekick, for our Eat My Dust Pick'em?
Unfortunately, you know, there's no special
Danica.
Pick.
He's going
I'm going with
Danica.
Junior. I'm going with Junior, too.
All right, so we got two votes for Junior. Okay, Fred House, Mike, you going to make this triumvirate? Who do you
nope.
like?
Nope, I'm going with Matt Kenseth.
Ah, that's a good pick.
Okay, finally. I'm going to, you know, it's funny. I'm coming down on the Toyota side, but today, for today's race, I'm going with, even though he's running from the back of the pack, I'm going with one Denny Hamlin to a win.
Whoa.
At Daytona. Yeah, I know. I'm going with Team Toyota, and I'm going with Denny Hamlin. So we have two votes for Junior and the Chevy stable, and we've got two votes on the Toyota side, and that was, say it again, Frat House Mike, you've got?
Kenseth and Hamlin.
Matt Kenseth. Okay, so we're going with the 20, the 11, and two of the men are going with the 88. Okay. All right.
And I will have the graphic of all of our picks up on our Facebook page within minutes after we're finished here.
Well, awesome. And that's what you folks want to do that are listening out there. Find us, Frat House Sports. Leave spaces between Frat Space House Space Sports on Facebook.com. Find us. You'll see our purple icon. Give us a like over there, and Frat House Mike will be posting up the results, and we'll be able to have some fun with this as the season progresses. All right, now, of course, I don't know. Do we have the sound drop? We used to have a sound drop.
Yes, we do. I got it ready to go.
Time. Oh, there you go. All right. Well, you know what it is. It's time for Sidekicks. Fantasy. And we're going to turn it over to you, Sidekick. I know you're ready because you are in Daytona. Who in the world should we try and get a team? What's our team? What's the best recommendation for our friends out there?
All right. So, Sidekick, this year we renamed the team. We're no longer the Sidekick Spoilers. We're Reed's Eastbound and Downers.
Oh, yeah. Boy. Is that
That's
bad
a mouthful.
Luck? Is that bad luck to have changed the winning team name? I'm just curious.
I call a violation.
So.
Well, obviously you don't. No,
same,
you
same
call
really
it. I call a violation. Okay. All right. Who
so,
do we like? Who's good?
All right. So we're gonna. It is Daytona, so obviously we're running with Dale Jr. 2675. We're going with the Farewell Tour boy, the pole winner, Jeff Gordon 2775. We're going with the Pesky Penske's Brad Keselowski, 27 and a quarter.
Nice.
And then, fan of the show, Cole Witt, 850.
Nice. I love it.
And
okay.
My favorite bottom guy, Landon Castle.
Okay.
750.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
My
awesome.
Winner, obviously, is Junior, and my manufacturer is Chevy.
All right. So we even got the bonus picks in there, which we didn't include last year, but
yep.
That's actually fun. That is a nice little wrinkle. All right, good job. Good job. Now, listen, folks, you've just heard it from the horse's mouth. This is the guy that has won this darn thing 3 years running. This will be four in a row for our own Sidekick. In one incarnation or another, he's always the winner of this fantasy thing. And, boy, we just need to knock him off. We've got time here. Brandon and or Frat House Mike, either or both, do you want to share all or part of your fantasy picks today, just for fun? We can do a quick comparison. It's up to you.
Sure.
Yeah,
I'll,
sure. Go ahead. Yeah, Mike, you first.
Yeah, I can throw mine out there. I'm going to be honest with you. I think I got a strong, strong team here today. I feel real good. Of course, don't we always, always feel really good on the first day of a fantasy in any season?
Oh,
we
yeah.
always feel like we're going to win. Yeah,
I feel
really,
good every year.
I feel oh, shut up.
You want to. I think you want to. Yeah, and win
All I got to say here is diggity, 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 boys. Let's
That's
go on it.
That's it. I think I might have got that a little wrong, but okay. Oh, boy.
I'm going with Carl Edwards, Tony Stewart, Matt Kenseth, Martin Truex Jr., who I think was strong this past week, and Landon Castle. That's a good team.
That is a good team.
Wow.
That's a very good team. Well, I'll give you mine because.
Go ahead, Brandon.
Why not? I'm going to, you know, my main team, I got my stalwarts, Dale Jr. Last year I rode Kevin Harvick and Brad Keselowski pretty hard, and I made a run at the end, but I didn't quite finish it out. So I'm going to go with those three as my main core until somebody shows me they're better. And my other two, I'm going to put in that full-time new addition to Roush Stable in the number six, Trevor Bain, and Michael McDowell is going to round up my roster. Yeah, I have a feeling Trevor Bain You know, he did. He showed flashes, you know, in the 21 car last year, being in full time. He ran well in Xfinity last year. You know, he's a former Daytona winner, so that's kind of one of the reasons why he's on for this particular race. But I think he might make a little bit of noise this year. The Roush team needs somebody to step up and lead them now that Carl Edwards is gone. And, you know, maybe Trevor's that guy. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. We got about 3 minutes before I wrap it. I'll just throw mine in there. And, you know, it's a funny thing. I didn't talk to Fred House, Mike, but boy, oh boy, the parallels are very, very similar here.
Really?
My team that I'm going to go with, the Uncle Mark team for Daytona, I'm top of the order is going to be Dale Jr., I think, absolutely, 2675. Matt Kenseth. I actually had Kyle in that spot, but, of course, because he's not, unfortunately, going to run, I am going with Matt Kenseth, 2625. I, as well, like Martin Truex Jr. This could be a good year for him. I really hope it is a breakout year. And in a funny way, I would think Michael Waltrip Racing has to be cringing if, in fact, Truex can put together a good year, considering they let that guy fly. In the fourth spot, I'm going with Tony Stewart, $22. And I, as well, I'm anchoring it with Landon Castle.
Wow.
For the bonus, obviously, I mean, if I'm picking Junior, I'm seeing him as the winner, and it would be then a Chevy victory. So there we have it. Everybody's thrown their best at you. So if you are a fantasy follower, even if you're not following NASCAR, there's a lot of different fantasy sites out there, right? Yahoo does them. I mean, Fox Sports does them. There's probably more. If you needed some ideas before Green Flag time, we've just given you the best of the best here from our Frat House Sports group right here at the Race Trim Motorsports Garage. And this has been a lot of fun. I'm going to say, gentlemen, I've enjoyed this thoroughly. What we want to do, we want to just shout out, thank you, Sidekick. We've been receiving some pictures from Sidekick down there in Daytona of some of the extracurricular stuff he's been able to view. Maybe get some pictures you'll be able to share with us, Sidekick, while you're down there in Daytona today during the action, right?
He's taking pictures of the action right now.
Yeah, I guess.
Obviously, we've got to do a better job.
I think maybe we need to do a little bit of a better job. But we thank our own Sidekick for...
Sorry, I'm trying to track down my stepson.
No, I got you. I got you. Yeah, no, that's
fine.
They're
getting ready to go to the track.
Exactly. I don't want
to
keep
you. Well, that's the thing. We're trying to get loaded up to go to the track, so I'm trying to find one stepson who must be playing with gators or something.
Okay. All right. Well, we want to thank you, Sidekick, for joining us, and we will look forward to updates and pictures and whatever you can do for us. We know that there is a Cole Witt signed, piece of memorabilia that is coming here back to the frat house the next time we see you. So we thank you for that. We had a caller. We'll give a shout out. Thank you for calling in, Wally Maltrip. He was calling us from Owensboro, Kentucky.
Owensboro, Kentucky.
So thank you, Wally Maltrip, for checking in with us. We want to thank our guests in the chat room, Liz Scarnati, right? She joined us. We appreciate, Liz, that you're supporting us and listening to us, and we like that you're keeping up with us. And, of course, listen, Frat House Mike and my crew chief, Brandon, so many thanks. Folks, don't forget you can reach us in so many ways, facebook.com, Frat House Sports. Find us, give us a like. If you are a YouTube viewer, find us on YouTube. You can subscribe to Frat House Sports there and certainly right here at Blog Talk Radio. Find us, give us a follow. Thank you so much. We are about ready to go racing, boys, and it is a boogity, boogity, boogity. Don't forget to check back with us. We're going to have our flagship show on Thursday night, Frat House Sports, so be sure to tune in and check in with us for that. Gentlemen, so many thanks. I will meet you all out front of Frat House shortly. And for all of you out there, come back and find us again. Enjoy the Daytona 500.